thank you, Shana Kay. I hope that you didn't scare anybody off with the announcement. I do see some young girls in here, and I just want to give you a chance, once again, before I get started. I in no way intend to be salacious. I do intend to be frank. And so I will say this, and I think I've said this to a couple of you. If you have young daughters, you need to be talking to them anyway. So this is going to be a springboard for you. Hopefully, if your daughter is in here, there may be questions. Talk to her. Talk all the time. But if some of the pictures, and that's why I asked Wayne to give a disclaimer, some of the pictures are just very strange. But I promise you, there's nothing more that you won't see at a mall or a football game. Mm-hmm. So, I didn't want to scare you with that. But I am very glad to be here. We think very highly of Wayne and Shana Kay and the Jones girls, as my son referred to them. We're just thankful to be here, and we love them, and I know as they labor with the congregation here that I pray you would just continue to hold up their hands, because when you're laboring full-time for the Master, as we all should be, but particularly so, the preachers and families, and all of your preachers here and their families, just give them a little extra hug and a little extra kiss and a little extra support from time to time. Our topic this afternoon is Don't Be a Delilah, Abusing Your Sexuality. Now, I'm not sure if Wayne gave me this topic after lunch to keep you guys awake, but I can promise you it's probably cool enough in here we can hang some meat. So I don't think he's going to be going to sleep. So I appreciate that as a speaker, though. I'm going to tell the speakers a little more. But can you remember a time when your parents talked to you about your sexuality? Do you remember the talk when you were a teenager? Well, our topic this afternoon is Don't Be a Delilah, but I really want to start in Judges 13. Judges 13. And briefly, it's the story of Samson. Delilah we know in conjunction with Samson, so you can't say Delilah a lot of times without mentioning Samson, but just think about Samson for a moment. In Judges 13, his parents, his mother said to God, chapter 13, verse 12, she said, how shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him, unto the child? You know, if you think about that, that's a question all of us as parents, all of us as members of the Lord's body should be asking. How shall we order our child, our children? And so, if you think about it, Samson was to me the quintessential erring child. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about that? He had godly parents, his parents cared about him. His parents even said to him, don't date outside of your race. They didn't say it exactly like that, but that's what God said. Do not date foreign, the women in the land about. And they even encouraged him when he went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman there. What did he say to his father? He pretty much demanded that you get her for me. His parents had taken a Nazarite vow. They had vowed not to take strong wine, not to eat any unclean things, because they wanted their child to be consecrated to God. But what did he do when he started getting of age? It happens to all of us as we go through those phases of our lives. Samson, like so many of us today, said unto his father when he saw her, get her for me. He demanded, not listening to his parents' advice, he said, get her, for she pleases me well. And what did his parents do? They acquiesced, because that was God's providence, that he would use Samson as an occasion against the Philistines. But I'm sure they didn't do it easily. I'm sure, like so many of us that may have children that are errant, they prayed and they cried and they pleaded. But what did Samson do? We know the story so well. He ran straight into her arms. For a harlot is a deep ditch, and a foreign woman is a narrow pit. Proverbs 23:27 warns us. So, interestingly enough, he didn't listen to the wise words of Solomon. In Proverbs 5:20, it says, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? And that's what he did. And we know the end of Samson was not a good end, because that leads us up to Delilah, the topic this afternoon. Delilah, anybody know anyone named Delilah? it's not a name we rush out. Somebody's shaking her head. But it's not, you know, we know Delilah, and that may be a former Delilah, but it's not a name you hear a lot. And I would personally put Delilah up there in my top 10 of bad Bible women. You know, the Jezebel, the Salome, the Herodotus. And I would put her there because not only did she entice Samson with her body, she did it for 1,100 pieces of silver. Ladies, we know what that's called today. When you sell your body for money, it's called prostitution. And that's where, when I think of Delilah, that's what I think about. And the Bible says he loved her, but you know what? She was very disloyal to him. She used her sexuality to basically entice him. She appealed to an urge in Samson, and he fell for it. And you know what's really interesting is that that phase of development happens to all of us as we grow up. God has given us this wonderful set of things called hormones. I say they're wonderful because if you don't have any, you'll know how wonderful they were. Because, you know, they regulate your body. They really do. And as I was complaining about it being cool in here, and I was trying to get warm. How hormones are working. So, our children, all of us, have hormones. In the right relationship, there are wonderful things. God gave us sexuality, but he gave us parameters. Those parameters are that they're only supposed to be used in the marriage bond between a man and a woman. Genesis 2:24 tells us that he made them one flesh. The only place that we can actually be one flesh, according to God's will, is inside the marriage relationship. So our job as parents is to make sure that we teach our children about their sexuality and how God wants them to express it. Sexuality can be defined as how people experience and express themselves as sexual beings. It can be described also as the way someone is attracted to another person. As a parent of a preteen boy, I can tell you, I can feel the pheromones, I'm smelling in the air whenever my son is around other preteen kids. It is that age, that 11, 12 year age, is the stage in their development where they start to get interested in the opposite sex. Parents, it's that time where we need to be more vigilant than ever to start teaching our young girls, our young boys, to respect those feelings. And we need to teach them daily. We need to show them, when we see young women on the street who are very scantily clad, we need to say, what is wrong with that picture? Or do you see anything wrong with that young lady? Not long ago, we were on our way to evening worship, and three young ladies started crossing the street at the light where we were. And what really made it interesting to me, and this is not meant to be offensive to anyone, but these ladies were Asian. And I think of all the cultures that we have, the Asian culture has a huge amount of respect for their elders, for their parents. They have a huge amount of respect for order. And here these three young ladies in Frisco, Texas, at 5:45 in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon, were walking across the street. One of them had on a pair of shorts that were so short that it barely covered the areas we teach our children that no one can touch. The areas of the underwear covered, the areas that are only reserved to them, they're not to be touched. Anybody touches them there, we teach our children, you tell us, because that's not right. Well, one of the young ladies had on a pair of shorts that short. Another one had on a pair of shorts. They were like running shorts, and that's the newest craze. You know, the 70s running shorts that are cut up on the side, they're back, and they're back in a smaller version, I tell you. So, one of them had on those, and the other young lady, beautiful, physically beautiful young lady, had on a pair of hot pants, cuffed, with some little boots with about heels that high, and they were walking across the street. And I looked at my son, because I'm like, oh no, I can feel pheromones. Because I'm like, okay, does he see them? Can I, like, ignore this? But no, I couldn't, because my son was looking out the window. He's 11, almost 12, in 2 weeks, he'll tell you. So, I said, Micah, do you see anything wrong with those young ladies? And he looked at me and he turned his head and said, they need some clothes on. I was so thankful that the little boy that I had taught about modesty when he was five and stopped watching Kim Possible. Do you guys know Kim Possible? She was the one that had the belly button out. He came home one day, and it was on, and his dad had preached on modesty, and he says, "Mom, I can't watch Kim Possible anymore. She didn't have enough clothes on." So I was faithful that he listened, and even at 11, as I know his interest in the opposite sex is starting to peak and starting to be a little more than it was a year ago, I know that as we teach our children, as we teach him what modesty is, that we can make a difference in their lives. Delilah's character was disloyal. She was dishonest. She was deceitful. And she was a debaucher. And that was a nice way of alliteration of, how do you call a harlot with a D? What's that? You know, I actually looked that one up. She was a debaucher. And you know what her name means, languishing? It means one who was weakened or uprooted to bring low. And we know that she brought Solomon to a low point in his life. It also means weak or poor. And I would describe Delilah as one very weak in character. So for the rest of our time this afternoon, we're going to talk about how we abuse our sexuality. We're going to talk about the flesh, our dress, the caress, and access. Let's go back to Adam and Eve. And one of the first things under the flesh is, it's an abuse of our sexuality. That God-given ability for us to feel good about ourselves and to be attracted to the opposite sex. It's an abuse of our sexuality, ladies, when we expose our nakedness. Now that's not Rose's opinion. Let's turn to Genesis 2:21 and let's see what God had to say about it. Genesis 2:21 tells us, "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead." Now we know this is the story of God giving Eve to Adam. Look down at verse 23, well, it's supposed to be 22. "And the rib which the Lord God had given for man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." You ever heard that at weddings? Yeah. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Do you see that relationship that God has given us? In the marriage relationship, in a relationship that he has sanctioned, there is nothing to be embarrassed or to even feel uncomfortable with. That is a wonderful part that God has given married couples. But when we take that and we expose it outside of that marriage relationship, it's gone beyond God's boundaries. Because one can still have on some clothing and still be naked. Turn over to Genesis 3 and verse 7. After they sin, and we all know the story of Eve disobeying and then causing her husband to as well, verse 7 in Genesis 3 says, "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." And if you look at the Greek of this word, it means tambora, which basically means from the upper part of the thigh, they covered themselves with these fig leaves, from the upper part of their thigh to their knee. What do they look like today? They look like shorts that people wear, don't they? But guess what God said? Look over in verse 10 of that same chapter, and God said, "What have you done?" They hid themselves, and he made them what? Tunic. What they made was not appropriate. God made them a tunic, and the tunic covered from the upper shoulder to the knee. God had a different standard than Adam and Eve did with those fig leaves. Ladies, we walk in our neighborhood, and I don't know if any of you have ever smelled a fig tree. They don't smell real good to me, but they're not, I was looking at the leaves and I thought about asking my neighbors if I could take some. But they were probably about the size of my hand. You know, I'm sure Adam and Eve probably used more than just one. But I promise you, I have seen some clothing on some young ladies that were not more than the size of my hand. But God said, no, you can have on clothing, but you have is not appropriate. You need to do it by God's standard. The other word for this tunic, like I said, it was from the shoulders to the knee. And the tunic was a shirt that was worn next to the skin. It was made of leather, hair, cloth, or wool. And in modern times, they use cotton. A lot of times, even the Bible, God instituted that the priests, when they were to serve, were to have a tunic on. Their nakedness was not supposed to be seen when they would climb up to do the work of the Lord. So God has a standard. And exposing the thigh equals exposing one's nakedness. So do you ever see thighs exposed? And I'm telling you, this is our second summer in Texas, and boy, it's about to get hot. It's already warm outside. But you know, I really don't enjoy summer. I don't enjoy summer for the mere fact that it's hot. But I enjoy it less because it's a time when people feel like they can wear absolutely nothing and be modest. They haven't read God's word. If God told them in Exodus 28 that they should make linen trousers for the priests who were waiting on his service in the temple, I'm sorry, in the tabernacle, why do we think that we don't have to properly clothe ourselves when we go out? Now, I know you guys have seen this. What did that look like? Adam and Eve made an apron from the thigh to the knee. This doesn't even meet that criteria. And this is what's in the store. I don't have daughters, but I have friends that have daughters, and I can tell you, I've heard this complaint. We cannot find clothing that's modest for our daughters. Ladies, you need to learn how to sew. Or you need to learn how to put something under the leggings or whatever you need to do. I don't have daughters, but I see the young girls that are in my son's school. And sometimes I'm wondering, did the parents even look at them before they came out? Particularly, did their father look at them? Because, ladies, men are attracted to flesh. They are attracted to skin. God gave them that set of hormones that are different from ours. And those of you that are wives, you know, you can walk around in a potato sack or a potato sack and still be attracted to your husband. Why? Because God has given us that sexuality that attracts us to our mate. And men are wired a little differently than we are, ladies. It's just the way God made them. So, we don't have to even dress like this for our husbands to be attracted to it. That's a beautiful, beautiful quality. But you know what? When there are people outside walking by my husband like that, I don't want him to be tempted. And this happens in the church as well, ladies, and I'm going to talk about that. But exposing one's nakedness is an abuse of our sexuality, as well as exposing or drawing attention to private parts of our body. I already told you that, you know, we teach our children any area that's covered by underwear is private. We don't talk about those areas. We don't show those areas. What is this? These photos clearly are not in keeping with what God has said for us to do and how we're to dress. You look at this picture. Do you see anything wrong with this young lady? It's lace and it's sheer. It didn't come out really well on the PowerPoint. But most people say no. Ladies, I saw a young person dressed like this at worship not long ago. The tattoos on the back, what is that doing? Tattoos on the ankle, the shoulder. They're drawing undue attention to your body. And those are things that you really need to talk to your daughters and your sons about. And as they're developing, because it is all around us. Ladies, we can't even go. We don't have to go outside our homes to be bombarded with sexual issues, with abuses of it. I was listening, my husband was drinking this Dr. Pepper can at lunch, and I looked on it. There's a lady here that has on a very tight tunic. Her arms are out. It's just a can. And most people say, well, she has a problem looking at a can. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there are sexual images all around us. Some of them are very immaculate, just as this Dr. Pepper can. Mm-hmm. But some of them are very explicit. Super Bowl commercials. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful. My son is a sports fanatic, my older one, Micah, is. But Micah will turn. He knows when the Super Bowl commercials come on, we have to kind of screen them first. You know, but you still can't see. You don't know what's going to be on there in the eczema innocuous to begin with. There are so many sexual innuendos in commercials, that it is beyond, I say beyond, good taste for people of the world, let alone Christians. We need to be vigilant, and we need to understand that God will hold us accountable. In Isaiah 3, 16 to 17, moreover, Jehovah said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and lanthorn eyes. Do you know what outstretched necks are? We're talking about the way they strut. They hold their necks up. I like this next phrase. It says, walking with and mincing. I had to look that one up. You ever heard the females ever say, fat cacheting around the house? You know how you move your lower body apart? Some people call it switching. I don't know if they call it that in Texas, but that's what we call it in Alabama. It's a way of evoking a sexual response from the opposite sex. And God said, as they're walking around and missing as they go and making it tingling with their feet, they would put chains around their ankles because they made very nice sounds. But guess what it did? What it did? It attracted men. Therefore the Lord will smite with the scab, the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and Jehovah will lay bare their secret part. Ladies, it was considered the ultimate discipline in those times for your private parts to be seen publicly. God used it as a form of punishment. Now look at this. Jennifer Lopez, Beyonce Knowles on the left, Jennifer on the right. This is how, these are the images that our children are seeing in magazines. These are the things that our husbands and our sons are seeing just walking along the street in San Marcos, I'm sure. Probably, they probably, by some standards, be considered modest with some of the things that people wear. They're not modest by God's standards. Ladies, we have to be careful because it is an abuse of our sexuality when we cause our brothers and sisters to lust. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this very lovingly. Yes, it is our brother's responsibility to control their mind. If they have the responsibility to walk honestly and to think on good things, Philippians 4:8 tells us. However, if we play a part in tempting them to lust, then God is going to hold us accountable. And we can do that. We can do it unknowingly. But we do it at our own peril. We have to be careful. Romans 13, 14 tells us, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The Bible tells us where all sin originates. It starts with the lust of eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We know that. God has given us our senses, and sensuality goes very closely with sexuality. Sensuality is no more than the fact that we have five senses and things appeal to our senses. Remember I started out by saying men are attracted to skin, to flesh? That's the eye. They're also attracted to touch, and we're going to talk about that. They're attracted to a lot of different things, as are we. I'm not just saying these are men. Women are as well. Because it's no more right for a man to walk around half clothed than it is for a woman to do it. It's both ways. But ladies, when we play a part in how we expose our skin, we are guilty of causing others to lust after us. You know, men, there was a survey done by Theodore Reich of Love and Lust, and he said, astonishingly, a great number of men are of the opinion that women are more attractive partly dressed than nude. Men think some women are more attractive partially dressed than totally nude. They prefer to see women partially disrobed to the sight of complete nakedness, is what this article says. The lady that invented the miniskirt, I'd like to have an actual talk with her. I don't know if she's still living or not, but her name is Mary Quant, and she was a London fashion designer, and she's considered the mother of the miniskirt. When asked, what did the miniskirt symbolize, and what was it intended to do, she said, and this is a quote, many clothes are symbolic of those girls who want to seduce a man. And when asked where was it all leading, she said, towards sex. a lot of things are leading toward that sinful path, ladies. And it has to do with our dress. There was a luxury cruise liner in 1961, and it was hijacked. It was called the Santa Maria. What was interesting is the rebels boarded this luxury cruise liner. And the women that were on board, I thought this was interesting, they were women of the world. They were not members of the Lord's church. But they, while these rebels had this ship hostage, they stopped wearing halter tops. They stopped going swimming on the deck, swimming pool on the deck. They stopped wearing their shorts because they thought that the rebels may have designs on their bodies if they dressed that way. Ladies, if women of the world know that we're capable of stimulating a man's desires by showing our flesh, shouldn't we as daughters of God know the same thing and dress accordingly? Jesus warned about committing adultery. I talked about the fact it's a twofold responsibility. You know, we cannot stop someone from lusting after us if that is their choice. But if we're dressed modestly and we don't engage in actions that will encourage that, then we're blameless. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5:27, you've heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. We need to help our brothers and sisters by dressing appropriately. Another way that we abuse our sexuality is providing opportunities for fleshly lust. And I kind of just talked about that a little bit. But dress. This is where we need to really start thinking about, as summer is approaching, how we're going to dress this with our young girls and our young men. Is that appropriate dress, ladies, for anybody? What does it evoke when you see that? Someone out partying? Someone out trying to attract someone of the opposite sex? Sadly, the Bible tells us that we are to clothe ourselves modestly. 1 Timothy 2:9-10 says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold pearls or costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness. I wouldn't look at these ladies and think anything godly about them. You know, our husbands don't either. Our men, our sons and uncles, men don't. They see that and they see an invitation. Because, ladies, you should not advertise but not for sale. Ever. And if you dress this way, you're sending a message that you are available. Now, what's interesting, when I was in college, I had some friends that would dress like that. I went to the University of Alabama. And they would get dressed to go out. And I asked one of them one time, I said, where are you going? She was going to a campus party. She had on a miniskirt, probably with the one on the orange, about that small. And I said, you're going to a fraternity party dressed like that? And she was going to a fraternity that was notorious for being womanizers. And I politely said to her, you're not leaving my room by yourself dressed like that. I didn't want her to go to the party. But the way that she was dressed, she was inviting trouble. And she was naive enough from a small town in Alabama to think that she could dress that way because she thought it looked cute and she thought she looked good, but she could parade herself in front of a fraternity house full of men who were very hormonal and probably half drunk by the time they got there. Now, we need to be friends to our sisters. This is a picture, and I put it here because it breaks my heart. The young lady on the left, the same lady, is the same picture of the young lady on the right. I taught this young lady in Bible class. It breaks my heart because I got these pictures off of Facebook. We can abuse our sexuality in so many ways. I don't know who the young lady is on the right. Ladies, these were the nicest pictures I saw on Facebook. These were the only ones I felt, and these borderline on being lewd. I mean, they are, but we're having a frank discussion about sexuality. But I look at her, and I remember the sweet young girl that she was. I don't know what happened, but she's no longer going to church. She's no longer worshiping God. And most of the pictures show her in this kind of attire. It looks like a club. I don't know what it is, but it's not something or somewhere that a young Christian should be. We are to clothe ourselves in godliness. And I do have every intention of contacting this young lady as soon as I get back to Crystal, because I didn't have time to do it before I came, but this is not a one-time conversation, because her lifestyle has gone. She's gone off the track from the young lady that put on Christ in baptism about 10 years ago. I don't know what's happened, but it's clear from those pictures that she is not thinking. Ladies, you need to be very careful what you put on Facebook. You need to be very careful that you don't put pictures there that will bring shame to not only yourself, to your family, but to the Lord's church. I am actually appalled at some of the things I see Christians posting on Facebook. And I'm going to get off that soapbox because we're talking about sexuality. But ladies, there's so many things that are just inappropriate about plastering pictures of yourself for anyone to see with you half-dressed. There's nothing godly about that. Or I implore you, if you know people that are doing that, to encourage them not to. These are some of the fashions that are out there. You know, you see anybody dress like the young lady down the right? Is that common summer wear with the little short shorts? Yeah. I mean, they're everywhere. The dress on the left. Actually, a lady in North Carolina came to worship one Sunday, and I really wonder if she did it on purpose. Thankfully, there were enough godly older women there that beat me to her. You know, because sometimes we don't say anything, sister. We will see someone that's very inappropriately dressed, showing too much thigh, showing too much leg, showing too much cleavage, and we don't say anything, but we form an opinion in our mind. Like, we're wrong for not addressing that. It is a sin because here is our sister who is obviously struggling with something. For her to come to worship, when we're talking about worshiping the God of creation, and she is inappropriately dressed. I saw a sister come to worship in North Carolina with her back out. Very attractive lady, maybe in her 50s. She was a divorcee, had a daughter. I was so thankful because we were just getting ready to start. The song leader had gotten up, and she walked all the way from the back. This is a huge congregation. She walked all the way from the back to the third seat from the front. And what I was thankful to see as she was walking by with men's heads doing this. You could see it's almost like a wave. Because they were trying to avoid not looking at her. Women can cause men to lust. It is part of who they are. They have to control it. But we have a part in it. And when our sisters come inappropriately dressed to worship, when our sisters are out at baseball games inappropriately dressed, we need to say to them lovingly, is what you're wearing what you would want Jesus to see you wear if he came back right now? If it's too tight, too short, and too low, it is too inappropriate for a Christian to have on. This is an interesting, it's a picture of a bra, but it's a picture of a bra for a 7-year-old. Have you heard of the Abercrombie & Fitch ad? This is called the Ashley Push-Up Bra for a 7-year-old. Ladies, we need to be careful about what we're saying to our children. Now, obviously, there was some backlash on this because I heard it. You know, and I'm a news person, but I don't, you know, watch a lot of television. But let me read something to you that... This person is a columnist from CNN. His name is L.D. Granderson. Now, I don't know much about Mr. Granderson, but I kind of assumed from a couple of things that I did read on him that he is living a lifestyle that's not appropriate with a Christian. I'm assuming that. I don't know that for a fact, but I would say that he is a homosexual male. However, that does not take away from the fact that what he wrote about this. He's a columnist for CNN, and I want to read something that he wrote. He said, I saw someone at the airport the other day who really caught my eye. Her beautiful long blonde hair was braided back back a la Bo Derek in the movie 10, or for the younger set, the Christina Aguilera during her Xena days. Her lips were pink and shiny from the gloss, and her earrings dangled playfully from her lobe. You can tell she had been vacationing somewhere warm because you could see her deep tan around her midriff thanks to the halter top and the tight sweatpants that rested just below her waist. The icing on the cake, the word juicy was written on her backside. Yeah, that 8-year-old girl was something to see, all right.
I hope her parents are proud. Their daughter was the sexiest girl in the terminal, and she's not even in middle school yet. This is from someone who's not even a Christian. Abercrombie & Fitch came under fire this spring for introducing the Ashley push-up bra for girls who normally are too young to have anything to push up. Originally, it was marketed for girls as young as 7, but after a public outcry, it raised its intended audience to the wise old age of 12. And this is what I thought was interesting. Like, I wondered the same thing. He says, I wonder how do people initiate a conversation in the office about the underdeveloped chest of an elementary school girl without someone nearby thinking that they're a pedophile. The push-up bra is still being sold. 10 years ago, he said, Abercrombie & Fitch sold thongs for 10-year-olds. But they're hardly along in pitching inappropriate clothing for young girls. 4 years ago, the popular Bratz merchandise introduced padded bras called bralettes for girls as young as 6. That was also around the time that the good old folks at Walmart rolled out a pair of pink panties, in a junior department with the phrase, "Who needs credit cards?" printed on the front. Ladies, if that is not offensive, but we need to be aware, because I promise you, I've seen some Christians, children of Christians, walking around with words on the back of their pants. I promise you, I've never seen these. These are a little more lurid. But I looked it up, and sure enough, there is such merchandise out there. We're pandering to children, to adolescents. We're abusing them by exploiting them, exploiting their sexuality. Ladies, we need to take a stand, and we need to stand tall right now. We need to be parents. He goes on in this article that says, it's not the advertiser's fault. It's the parents' fault. He said, there are no 10-year-olds out there with fists full of money rushing to say, take me to Abercrombie & Fitch, let me buy a padded bra. It's the parents who think it's cute for a second grader to wear low-rider jeans that are hanging off their backside. They think it's cute, and the parents are promulgating this. It ought not to be so, sisters. It's an abuse of our sexuality. Our dress and our actions affect others. I'm going to move through these quickly. This is another young lady I know. The young lady on your right is a senior that attends a Christian school where we moved from in Tennessee. They don't have prom at this Christian school. They have what they call an alternative dinner. This is how she dressed to go to it. Ladies, we forget that we are Christians at all times. And when I saw this, I was just really, really surprised, because I know her family. I thought I did. And I was just very surprised to see her. That dress is backless, by the way. Weddings, alternative dinners, are still not options for us not to dress modestly. And I've gone to weddings where I've been appalled that the bride had on a strapless gown and all of her bridesmaids had on halter dresses. And these are members of the Lord's church. They didn't have instrumental music. Even if they did, it would have been hard-pressed to see any difference between the people in that wedding party and the world. I encourage you to really think about, when your children are picking clothes, to think about how they're appearing to other people and the message they're sending that's blaspheming the Word of God. It's too short, too low, off the shoulders, too sheer, too tight. You got to think about, it's immodest. Sporting events. What about cheerleader outfits? I know I'm probably stepping on some toes now, but I'm aiming at your heart. Cheerleader outfits, majorette outfits. Nothing more than a bikini. Ladies, we need to be careful. Another area where we abuse it is in caress, and I'm running out of time, so I want to just quickly go over this. Ladies, a lot of sin occurs just by a casual touch. Do you know there are more nerve endings in the ends of your fingers? They're very, very sensitive. And ladies, most affairs do not begin in the bedroom. They begin in the boardroom. They begin touching a person on the arm to comfort them. They begin in a counseling session where someone is crying and you're hugging them for comfort. And I want to encourage you that the touch, be aware when you touch your brothers in Christ and men in general. I'm not saying that every brother that you touch is going to be excited by your touch. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is there's a sensitivity there, and you need to be aware of it. We need to be very careful when we see pictures like this. It says to us there's a relationship there, and that's not a relationship that we want Christians to be engaged in. And ladies, I put this picture here because several years ago, when we worshipped in North Carolina, there was an elder's daughter, and we were standing in a fellowship meal, and they were engaged, this young lady was. She was engaged to this young man who just obeyed the gospel. And ladies, they were standing in the fellowship line. Her back was to his front. He had his arms around her, and they were touching. It's called spooning, I think is what it's called. Ladies, any man will tell you that you don't touch the front part of his body with your body. It was a very sexual overture. And I walked up there, and I was newly married, and I said to the young lady, I whispered her ear, I said, can I talk to you for a minute? And I said to her very pointedly, I said, that is so inappropriate. You're not married. You are engaging in something that you really should wait for your wedding. You're getting married in 3 months. But lady, it also sent another message. It also sent a message. They were very intimate, and they were closer than they needed to be.
Exactly.
Ladies, we need to be aware that touch and caress has a very major impact, and we need to be careful that when our teenagers start to become interested in sex and you see them holding hands, that moves to caressing, that moves to spooning, we need to stop that, and we need to be very careful about it, because we have to teach them appropriately how to express their sexuality. Our last area is access. And I wanted to talk about access because we can stop a lot of sin if we never, ever start. Access, being close to people. Remember I talked about sensuality? We have 5 senses. Men are very attracted to nice scents. They're very sensitive to touch. They're very sensitive with their eyes. Of course, you know, it starts with the eyes. What about hearing? What if you're at working and you're standing really close to someone? It could be very innocent. There is attraction for being close to people. What about just whispering in someone's ear, a man's ear? Ladies, when I hug people, especially my brothers, my husband told me years ago, there was a 16-year-old when we were in North Carolina. And he wasn't 16 when we got there, but he had developed into a 16-year-old. And I would just go up and I would hug him from the front. And I thought nothing about it. My husband pulled me aside one day. He said, you need to stop hugging JJ from the front. And I said, why? And he said, because he's a 16-year-old male. And I said, oh, okay. You know, we don't think anything about it, but ladies, hug from the side. Teach your daughters to hug in their brothers and sisters from the side. Or teach them to put their arms in front of their breast before they lean in to hug someone. Sometimes people will just grab you. You don't have a chance to. But, you know, and I'm not saying there's anything lewd or illicit about it. I'm just saying be aware of access, caress, what you dress, and the flesh. I think we're out of time, but I really wanted to just show you one other film. I found this. Someone at the door. Could someone answer it? I'm not dressed. I'm dressed. It's probably my friend who's going to, what's that, Slitter Bomb Water Park? Y'all know where that is? Look how she's dressed. Remember what we said? God has a dress code, ladies. God has a dress code, and it's not to be as the apron that Adam and Eve fashioned for themselves. It's to be in accordance with how he would have it, the clothes and modesty. I have a lot more information, but I know we're out of time, so let's just close on prayer real quickly. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for Shai's son who died for us, and Father, we thank you for being your children. Father, we thank you for this opportunity and for the good elders and the ministers and all the ones that have gone into making focal points possible. We thank you, Father, for all those that are in attendance. We pray that you'll continue to help us all to grow more spiritually. Help us, Father, as your women to be more mindful of the fact that we have great influence with others, especially with men, that you help us, Father, to use the wonderful gift of sexuality that you've given us, to use it appropriately, that we will teach our children, Father, to be aware of it and help them, Father, to also live according to thy standards. Father, we pray that you'll help us as we continue to do thy will and forgive us when we fall short of thy glory. It's in your Son's Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.